grass is always greener on the other side. Caterpillar to a butterfly.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
Hey, welcome to Green and Growing right here on 95.5 WSB this Easter weekend. Ashley Frasca with you live in studio for the next 3 hours until 9 o'clock. I hope you'll join in. Ask your garden questions. It's a beautiful weekend. There's a lot going on. 404-872-0750. Love that about a month and a half ago, I started to feature local farmers markets. And this weekend just happens to be the weekend that the Green Market at Piedmont Park opens back up. So you can enjoy that with the family. If you're already in the park for your sports activities, taking the dog out, taking the kids out, you'll really want to enjoy this. So I've got with me Matthew Bagshaw, and he is the Piedmont Park Green Market Manager. Matthew, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hey, Ashley, thanks for having me.
How long have you been the market manager there at Piedmont Park?
I've been here for about 3 years now, and we're actually celebrating our 20th year as a farmer's market here. So,
congratulations. That's a big anniversary.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we're very excited. We've got a little birthday party celebration coming up June 1st that we're planning to celebrate.
And boy, you are busy because the market opens soon, right?
Yes, it opens at 9 a.m. today.
Saturday. Good. And this is the first weekend that it's back open.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we take a little break for the winter, and we're really excited to get back at it today.
So I can imagine, you know, we've spoken to some farmers markets in smaller towns, but there at Piedmont Park, y'all have got a lot of space. Kind of give us an idea of the energy and the size of the Green Market there at Piedmont Park.
Sure, yeah. It stays pretty busy. We've got about 40 vendors on any given week. Some of them rotate a little bit. Some are there steadfast every week. We've got a lot of prepared foods for you to eat, breakfast and lunch. We've certainly got your groceries. We've got a lot of local produce and meat. We've got a new egg vendor this year we're excited about.
And now, are there arts and crafts available too, or is this strictly just more food?
Oh, no, we've got a little bit of everything. We've got arts, we've got crafts, we've got jewelry, lots of unique gifts if you're looking for that kind of thing as well.
Mother's Day's a little over a month away. That might not be a bad idea. Get an early start.
Yeah, get on it early.
It's a bad idea. Don't procrastinate. You heard it right here on Green and Growing. Get mom's gift early. Well, so the market opening today, this Saturday of Easter weekend, what are the hours of the market? And is it every Saturday from now through December?
We're every Saturday from 9 to 1. We're at the 12th Street Gate in Piedmont Park, which is right next to Willie's and Shake Shack. And we are pretty much every Saturday. We do close for the Class A festivals in the park, the big festivals. So we're open this weekend, we're open next weekend, but then we are going to close for the Dogwood Festival, and then we'll be right back the following weekend. So you can find all that on our website at piedmontpark.org when we'll be closed, or you can sign up for our mailing list about the market. We go to the second week of December.
Okay, and I love the website, as you mentioned, piedmontpark.org, and you can even take a look at the map before you go and know that week's vendors, where their booths and tables are located. Are you looking for any new vendors week to week, or does everybody sign up ahead of time and they're set for the season?
We are set for the season. We are full. We have a few folks on our waiting list even. Most of our vendors tend to come back every year. You know, it's a big park, but the space that we're in is somewhat limited, and we don't add a lot of new vendors on any given year. We do accept applications in December after market closes.
So any of you that have those talents and those skills, you got to get a jump on it early to be included. And this is the 2024 Green Market at Piedmont Park. Matthew Bagshaw, who's the market manager there. I don't want to keep you much longer because I know you've got a huge market to open at 9 o'clock. Thank you so much for taking the time with us this morning.
Thanks for having us. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well. And I want to reiterate for folks who I've been doing this feature weekly, almost weekly, if you want to find a farmer's market near you, because the local community farmer's markets may be just seasonal, maybe haven't opened yet, you want to go to the Georgia Department of Agriculture's website. Just Google that, Georgia Department of Ag. And in the search bar, type farmers markets. And there's a list of the state farmers markets. There are 9. So you can imagine those are pretty big. And then community farmers markets. So you'll be able to see a list of all of the farmers markets in your area. And hey, are you cooking Easter dinner or Easter brunch with something you grew? What are the plans? I want to know. I want to know what you're eating this weekend. I feel like that's a Mark Arum segment. But we have time on the show today to talk about it. 404-872-0750 is the number here with you live in studio until 9 o'clock this morning. I have some great calls coming up for you. I'm going to jump right out to the phones. How about that? Now, familiar voice you just heard no less than 20 minutes ago, Captain Mac Farr, host of Epic Outdoors. Hey, Mac, welcome.
Good morning, Ashley. How are you?
I am so honored to have you on my show. Thank you for calling.
Oh, no, the honor's all mine. I tell people we're quite proud to be the warm-up act for Green and Growing.
You and I are both kind of new at this hosting a radio show type deal. But, I mean, you are crushing it. You've been hosting and taking over for O'Neill since January. How do you feel like it's going? You have the same audience, a lot of the same participants in the show?
Oh, yeah. I really don't feel like it's changed much, and that was my intent all along, actually. You know, nothing was broken there, so I didn't come in with the intent of fixing it.
Right.
And, it really is just very different being on this side of the microphone, no question. There's been a learning curve, but I'm having fun, and I hope the listeners are too. And we've been fortunate. We've got great callers. And, you know, all I do is facilitate. So they make my job pretty easy.
They do. They make it a lot of fun. It's definitely worth getting up early for. Well, let me ask you, did I hear right? Today's opening day for turkey season?
That is correct.
Kind of coincides with the opening day for baseball, right?
Yeah, how about that? So there's a lot of stuff to do this weekend between Easter and opening day. Fishing's really good. We got baseball, so we got a lot of stuff going on. And we got an Easter celebration tomorrow. So, yeah, we're busy, right?
This is a great weekend. And I know you're headed out in just a little bit, but I wanted to ask you about your green thumb. A little bird tells me you, in hosting a radio show, doing what you do, guiding folks around Lake Lanier and everything else, you also have time to garden a little bit.
Well, not as much as I like. I really enjoy it, and I'm a very avid gardener now. No, there's a difference between really avid and really good. I'm trying to get to really good. But I got to share one. I have limited space. I have lots of little bitty garden plots, so I don't have a big garden. But one thing I started doing, and I don't know if this is a popular thing or if this is – it might be a bad thing, but it's worked for me, but I'm going to share it with you.
Yeah.
Because of my limited space, most everything I grow are vegetables. I love to go out in the garden and pick something and eat it. And I love to – squash is one of my – big things. I love to eat fresh squash. But squash are big, bulky plants, right?
Right.
I started putting mine in tomato cages and make them go more vertical. It saves a ton of space, and they seem to do well. So that's probably pretty unorthodox, but it's worked. So
I like it, and it gets the squash up off the ground. You know, that way there's less chance for anything to get to them.
Yeah, you eliminate some critters, and I think because they can get a little bit better air circulation, you might not get the funguses that you can get on them. So if you've got limited space, you might want to try that, and it might get you, help your density, and, you know, it's a good way to make use of a little bitty garden plot.
It's so funny you mentioned that, and I knew we were talking about gardening ahead of time, but I coincidentally was scrolling some reels or Facebook videos or something yesterday when I was trying to lay down for a nap and saw this guy that made a squash tree. And everybody, of course, that doesn't understand gardening is thinking, oh, where can I buy a squash tree? Well, it's not like that. But he stuck a pole in the middle of the plant and then was able to lightly rope the vines, you know, as they were growing up the pole. And it did. I mean, it was behind him in the video, and it was growing like a tree. So that's kind of a similar thing. But I thought, that's a good idea. Growing vertical is much better.
Yeah, and they're big, bulky bushes, and they really spread out. If you got a lot of room or you're trying to grow other things around them, they can shade them. And that made a big difference. And I can put other things like maybe a pepper or something, a smaller plant, on the sunny side of it and really maximize my space. So hope that helps somebody with their squash plants this spring.
That is great advice. I mean, an investment in tomato cages is just a must for gardeners. Now, how often are you out there scouting for pests and, you know, watering during the summertime and all of that?
Yeah, watering as needed. I really watch that. And, of course, here in Georgia, a lot of times when you get into late June and July, you better be watering or you won't be eating squash, right? And I'll tell you another tip, too, Ashley.
Sure.
Some people will have the option to do this, some won't. One thing that really makes stuff grow, and, of course, I'm lucky. I'm on the lake all the time, but I fill my wells up with lake water. And a lot of times I'll drain it out of the boat and put it on my plants. There's something in lake water that's not in rainwater that makes stuff grow.
Really?
So, yeah, you might, if you got a lake nearby or even a creek, That's a good little trick. And, of course, like I said, I'm lucky. I go to the lake. I can fill my wells up in the boat, drive them home, drain it out in the bucket, put it on my tomatoes and squash. But something else that maybe you'll maybe jumpstart your plants a little bit or keep them really healthy in that dry period we were talking about.
And when you're out there catching fish and you're serving that for dinner, I want to know some of the vegetables that you're pairing with your fish for dinner.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But no, they're all good. And gosh, squash, beans, rice, it's all good. Doesn't matter. Slice of tomato.
Oh, that's
good. You're making me hungry.
That's a side. I am trying to get my husband away from potatoes or pasta every single meal, right? So I brought home a tomato, and he's like, so what are we having with this dinner? And I'm like, well, one of our sides is a tomato. And he went, what? And I'm like, yeah, like I'm going to slice a big tomato, put some salt on it, and that is one of the sides, like to get away
there
from the starches. And he didn't quite trust me on that one.
he'll come around.
It's hard to beat in the summertime, man. A fresh tomato, a huge red tomato, that's a great meal.
There's also a lot to be said about going in the yard and picking it.
Yes.
Then cutting it. There's some, I don't know, it's a... it's kind of a primal thing, I guess, you know, grow it and eat it. But I get really get a big kick out of, I just love to watch stuff grow. My grandparents were avid gardeners, and that's probably where I got it from. Of course, they did it for sustenance. You know, I do it for fun. But it is nice to be able to go pick something and take it inside and eat it.
It's a good memory. It's a good memory to associate our parents and our grandparents gardening. And like you said, unfortunately, they were doing it more out of necessity, and we can do it in our leisure. But the things that you picked up and retained from childhood and teenage years, watching them out in the garden, and then you start doing it, that's really a neat thing.
Oh, no, it's I'll never forget the time that I got to spend with my grandfather, who's a really good gardener. And what I learned was one benefit, but just the time and the outside time and watching stuff grow and learning to appreciate that, that's really ingrained in my memory bank, and I'll be grateful to him. He's passed away since, but I have very, very fond memories of all that. Absolutely.
Well, Mac, I'm so glad you called the show, and I look forward to like some check-ins. Maybe we'll do a check-in a couple times a month and see how your garden's going. And also, I mean, you can give us, you know, an update on what's going out on or what's going on out on Lake Lanier. You headed to the lake today?
I am going to try and catch me a fish right now, because now you've got me talking. I got to go get some. I got to have fish to eat tonight.
We need
right
dinner.
There you go.
Well, Mac, I mean, again, congratulations. I'm so happy for you with the show, and it seems like it's going really well. And just keep having fun on Saturday mornings. It really, we're lucky to be in this position, you know?
No, absolutely. And I've gleaned a lot from your show, and you do a great job. I always enjoy listening. I've always listened. You know, a lot of times I'm in the truck going to the lake, so we're listening for any tips. And as long as we don't start talking about moles, I love it.
Yes.
Moles are five-letter, four-letter word.
They are the devil, those little guys. Well, I'll talk more about squash now that I know that's your crop of choice.
Okay. Ashley, have a great weekend. Everybody listen up. Get your gardens ready. And have a super Easter celebration tomorrow.
You too. Captain Mac Farr, so glad to have you on Green and Growing this morning. And yes, everybody, a blessed and a happy Easter weekend for sure. But we're here till 9 o'clock. We're getting it done. 404-872-0750. When we come back, so the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend, it's Ashley Frasca on WSB. Current temperature outside about 50 degrees. It's chilly, but boy, it's going to warm up. It is going to be the ideal weekend for your Easter plans. This forecast brought to you by Finley Roofing and from our 95.5 WSB meteorologist, Christina Edwards. A high in the mid-70s today, guys. Mostly sunny skies. No chance of precipitation at all. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a high around 80. Hopefully that's going to stick around. We'll see. Maybe not. If you do not follow Christina Edwards on social media, I would recommend you do. And she had a graphic and a blog that she posted not too long ago, just reminding us, waiting to plant the summer garden until tax day. I know the weather seems beautiful, but we don't want to get overeager. Yes, the vegetable plants are in the big box stores right now, but there is still a chance for a freeze. The top five latest spring freezes, according to the National Weather Service data, the most recent one was 1983. We hit 30 degrees on April 20th. So, y'all, it could still be into April when we have another freeze. Oh, how about that? April 23rd, 1986, 32 degrees. So fingers crossed. We like that 80-degree weather, but we will keep it tuned here to WSB to see what Christina Edwards has to say.
Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca. Here's your garden to-do list this week.
But here are some things that aren't going to be too impacted by the weather that you're able to get out and do. Number one, I'm going to be doing this today. Be prepared to train or trellis flowering vines. I've got yellow Carolina jessamine going crazy right now, exploding with those yellow flowers. It looks great. You can go on the Facebook page, see a picture of that if you want to pick some up. I need to keep tying it up to the pergola that I have it growing around, and then I eventually want to train it to go up to the left across the board in the front. But have a plan for things like that for your clematis, your cross vine, jasmine, and other vines. Get ahead of it. You don't want to get behind. Number two, mower maintenance. We talked about this a little bit last weekend with Clint Waltz. Sharpen your blades. Check the oil, check the gas, the filters. Make sure you're good to go. And as Clint Waltz reminded us last week, mow those warm season grasses that are greening up now at the same height you mowed them when you last put them to bed in the fall, right? Don't change the blade height at all. Don't scalp your Bermuda. Not necessary to do that. And number three, remove spent camellia blooms from the bush and from the ground. It's so sad that our Japonica camellias are kind of coming to a close right now. They have just been really showy for the last month or two. But you want to prevent camellia petal blight. So you never really want to leave things underneath the bushes just to prevent disease. Same with roses, too. When you're working with roses in the summertime and maybe you've got leaf spot or something like that, raking out the debris from underneath and always replacing it. This is a great time of year to be replacing a lot of the beds with fresh mulch underneath some of the plants, right? So keep that in mind. Make a visit to your big box store or somewhere and get new mulch. 404-872-0750. When we come back, a social media influencer, a digital creator that I met at a recent garden event, talking about gardening and chickens. Two really cool topics to stay tuned to right here on 95.5 WSB. We'll be right back.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
I always love that voice that says plants, flowers, trees, and stuff. Because I can kind of talk about whatever I want on the show. We can incorporate anything. 404-872-0750 is the number. So since this particular topic doesn't fall under plants, flowers, or trees, chickens. And I usually do a little feature about chickens and baby chicks the weekend of Easter. And I am excited to have someone new on the show. Michelle is a digital creator and self-proclaimed plant nerd, but over 60,000 followers on her Instagram account, y'all. And it is at Gardens and Chickens. And I am just so curious how Michelle combined two of her passions into an Instagram account, and over 60,000 people are like so into this combination. So, Michelle, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Happy Easter weekend.
You too. So, this was fun. I've got to give people the backstory. You and I are about the same age, and we were invited to an event from Southern Living Plant Collection and Oasis Forage. They had an event in Atlanta. They're kind of touring larger cities here in the Southeast. And you're on their radar because you have a social media presence. I'm on their radar because I host a garden show. So all of us are invited to this event. It was a beautiful afternoon. We had a great time a few weeks back. And I'm so glad we got to talking because I was like, I need a chicken person.
And I was like, hey, I have chickens. I'm in North DeKalb.
See, North DeKalb County, raising chickens, raising a family. My goodness. I do have to ask, how did you think that combining two things, gardening and raising chickens, would just explode as a social media topic? That seems like two random things to me, but 60,000 people would disagree.
I know. No, completely. Well, it's not completely random because, so my husband actually wanted chickens for a very long time, and I was of the opinion that I cannot take care of a single thing else. Like, my hands are full. I'm good. But then I kind of started reading about the benefits of chicken manure, mm-hmm. and what that does in a garden. And I was like, you know what? Maybe we should do this chicken thing. So
it's free that's fertilizer. How it, kind of got,
it is, and it's great fertilizer. And they're actually not as much work as I thought they would be. So I just kind of share about what I've learned over the years and try to reach out to the community, because there's a lot of people, as you know, that really love gardening, and it's a great community with a lot of passionate individuals.
Absolutely. And I mean, the fact that you're able to, you know, be self-sustaining in your landscape that way. But it wasn't always that easy. So you got baby chicks, which we'll kind of go through the timeline.
Yes.
And the coop that you and your husband built is incredible, because that's really important. Don't get chickens if you can't protect them from hawks and predators and all that kind of thing. Then you wasted your money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And even when we try to free range and we'll open it up and we try to put them in a protected area that has a larger tree back there, we've had a hawk attack and we were outside. We pretty much only let them out if we're outside, but hawks are very bold and hungry. Mm-hmm. We've had coyotes that we've seen in our backyard just staring at the coop.
So
everyone wants a tasty, you know, chicken tender treat, unfortunately. So you really do need some protection.
Now, and, so how did your kids take to this? Like when y'all first got some baby chicks, how did you get them? What did the kids think? And were you thinking, okay, I'm committed. These things are going to grow into teenagers and adults, and we're keeping them. They're part of the family now.
Yeah. So it was actually, the chicks are just so cute. And if you've ever held or seen them, you know how adorable they are. We ordered, because in DeKalb County, we have regulations. We can have chickens, but we can't have roosters.
Okay.
So I really wanted that 100% female guarantee. And so we found a website that actually ships day-old chicks.
Hmm.
So they came in a box, chirping at the post office, picked them up there, and opened them up at home. They had like a little heat pack in there. And the first few weeks are adorable, but they're kind of just like having a baby. Mm-hmm. So they can drown themselves in a little thing of water. They need to be kind of constantly supervised, more or less. So I have them in a tub. I work from home, so I have them in a tub kind of next to me, and I was able to check on them, flip them back upside down, up, you know, the right way to make sure that they kind of made it. But they quickly go from adorable chicks that are so fun to hold to kind of very lanky, stretched out teenager chickens,
right?
I guess. they're not as cute at all. And they are prey animals. So they are kind of naturally fearful of people. And I always dreamed of having a friendly chicken that would follow me around everywhere and be my best friend. It didn't happen, even though our chickens were hand raised. So we definitely raised chickens for the eggs, but they're cute for that split second, and then they can live, you know, up to 8 years plus.
Wow.
Honestly.
And now, is there a season that they're more, or you know, the months that they're more apt to lay eggs, or is it just year round?
Yeah,
constantly get eggs.
No, I wish it was year round. They take time off, I guess, or they have their vacation leave in the winter. So as the days get shorter, chickens lay less. And I've read that it's about, you know, the number of daylight hours and not the temperature outside. So I've heard of people tricking them and putting in, you know, lights around the coop to try to mimic extra daylight. We haven't done that, but they take the winter off, and then when they first start laying in the spring, it's like a bumper crop.
Wow.
We don't know what to do with all of those eggs. And then it kind of levels out during the summertime, but it's definitely a very, I don't want to call it a seasonal crop, but it's not every day we're overwhelmed with eggs and constantly eating eggs. It's very seasonal.
Well, and you made a very good point about the place that you get chicks from, making sure there's a guarantee that you get females, because that's a big deal. You know, sometimes you don't know, and they have to have hatched, right, for you to know the sex.
Yes, they have to. I think there's superstitions of, you know, certain eggs are, if the shape is one way or the other way, then it's a female versus a male. But I, even as they were tiny chicks, I couldn't tell the difference. There's a ton of different Facebook groups and forums online that there's hundreds of different threads where people are posting pictures of like, is this one a rooster or is this one a chicken? And, I mean, some people respond, I could never tell the difference, but we did end up getting all female chickens, and they've been with us now for 4 years. So we're going on our fourth year with them.
And what would you say is the kind of cost to return ratio as far as, like, you know, I mean, y'all built the coop and that's just a one-time cost, but, you know, maintenance and, of course, feeding them and having everything they need versus the return on the fertilizer you get and the eggs that you get. I mean, is it pretty inexpensive to raise chickens or is it a commitment?
I have to think about it. The one-time coop expense can be very painful, mm-hmm. I guess. So there's a lot of coop kits and different options that you can buy online. But a lot of them, when we looked at them, granted, this was 4 years ago, but they pretty much just held four chickens, like 2 to 4. They were very small, and they would have needed a lot of reinforcements from our local predator population. So we ended up having to build it ourselves. And there's also folks in the local Atlanta area that will build you a coop. A lot of great coops that I've seen, really beautiful ones. But that is an expense that you kind of have to budget for. And then outside of that, the food that we do, we try to buy organic. We try to buy it in bulk. Mm-hmm. But I would say that's probably $45 a month or so.
Okay.
And then on top of that, they also need bedding, so pine bedding for the coop. And maybe that's another $10. So I guess it depends on what kind of eggs you're buying from the store.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I'm thinking that's less than it costs to feed my dog in 1 month. So that's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not, I would say dog food and taking care of a dog is a lot more expensive than chickens.
Yeah. All right, now let's switch over, start to transition to the gardening, because I know you do some fabulous gardening. Your videos are fun. I mean, you just have a natural curiosity, but then you go out there in the garden and you're like, you know, this is something I would have just done by myself, but I'm going to turn the video camera on, and it's good stuff. It's things that people are just now maybe seeing for the first time or whatever. So first I want to ask you, when you've got this chicken manure and use it for fertilizer in the gardens, is there anything you do to process it first? Do you let it kind of maybe compost down a little bit, or can you just put it straight on in the flower beds? What do you do?
So I will say that I've never experimented by putting the chicken manure directly onto the compost bin or directly onto in the garden, because I've read about it burning the roots because it's so high nitrogen. So what I do is our little compost pile area is right by our chicken coop. So we just kind of move it a little to the left, and I try to only use it in 6 months to a year. I've never tested it to really see. I just kind of give it time and I'll use it that kind of the next spring.
Okay. And you're mixing some other things in throughout the months,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Food scraps, leaves, kind of whatever might die in the garden. If it's not diseased, we'll go into the compost bin.
And you mentioned, oh, okay, so you have a bin because you're in North DeKalb County, so there may also be some, you know, HOAs or something that are funny about a smell. So maybe you have to have it enclosed, or depending on how much land you're on, you can have it out in the open, but you have a bin.
Well, bin is a very nice way to put it.
Is it open air?
It is open air.
Okay.
And we had some pallets left over, so we just kind of stacked some pallets. So there's a division, and it's kind of a three bin system. So the freshest stuff is on one side, and then as that fills up, I'll flip it to another area that's been composting longer, and then I have one more round, and I'll use the stuff on the farthest left side that's kind of been flipped twice.
Okay. Gosh, that's fascinating, because I have composted, but on a small scale, and I'm fascinated how that works. Well, Michelle, we're coming up upon a break, so I want to hang over with you and ask more about your time in the garden, because I know you're out doing a lot of things, and you expose folks to a lot of, you know, beautiful plants and flowers that we're able to grow here in the South. So hang tight, and I also am going to put you on a pop quiz, too. Coming up, my top three things to do in the landscape this weekend, I will share two. And I will have Michelle share a third one, what she might be doing in the garden this weekend or this coming week. Again, Michelle is the digital creator, Instagram influencer with her account. It's just at Gardens and Chickens, 60,000 followers right here in North Metro Atlanta, and just making gardening easy for folks, sharing her funny stories about the chickens and all that kind of thing. So if you're on Instagram, look for Michelle at Gardens and Chickens, 404-872-0750. We'll be right back. You're listening to Green and Growing on 95.5 WSB. All right, the weather forecast for your Easter weekend. In case you haven't heard, it's going to be beautiful. You have church services to attend, maybe Easter egg hunts, anything outdoors, maybe have a nice brunch, lunch, or dinner with the family. Set the table outside. Some of the pollen is done. I know we're still in the midst of it, but just pop an allergy pill before you're outside. Brought to you by Finley Roofing, mostly sunny today with highs in the mid-70s, lows only getting down around the mid-50s, and then partly cloudy but very warm for tomorrow if you're going out for golf or tennis prior to Easter services, 80 degrees. So you need that sunscreen, a low of about 60, and rain really not coming into the forecast until about Tuesday. Your complete forecast comes up in less than 10 minutes.
Green and Growing. Ashley Fraska's top three things to do this weekend.
All right. So I have a friend who's going to help me with this. So I'm going to give you two. Number one, my first would be mower maintenance right now. Sharpen the blades, check the oil and the gas and all that kind of thing. And as Clint Waltz, UGA turf grass specialist, reminded us last week, mow those warm season grasses that are greening up now at the same height that you last mowed them in the fall. Don't change anything. Don't scalp your Bermuda lawn. Not necessary to do that. Of course, with fescue, some of it's looking really, really good right now because it hasn't gotten super hot. So keep mowing that at the same height as well. Number two, be prepared to train or trellis your flowering vines. You want them to grow vertical, right? So I've got my yellow Carolina jessamine. It's going crazy right now. It looks beautiful. It flowers two or three times throughout the year. So that's a good one if you're looking for one to start. But I've got to keep tying it up to the pergola. I did not put a trellis or something in first, so I'm just roping it around the post. And it's going gangbusters. But have a plan, a trellis or something, for your clematis, your crossvine, your jasmine, all of those other things that are going to be coming out. And I've got my guest, Michelle, who is an Instagram follower or Instagram influencer and digital creator. Follow her on Instagram at Gardens and Chickens. And she spends a lot of time out in the garden. Michelle, what would you recommend folks do this weekend?
Yes, I would say for number three, I heard you earlier that we're not planting until April 15th because the late spring frost chance is very real and has caught me many a time. So now is a great time to figure out where you're going to get some additional compost or slow release fertilizer. You can add all of those amendments to your bed now and really let that settle in so that when you get those starts and you're ready to start your vegetable garden outside and get everything planted, you can just rock and roll.
That's really good because, yeah, like to your point earlier about the chicken manure, that needs to kind of calm down a little bit. We don't want to put something that raw directly onto our plants.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right. Now, when you're gardening, I mean, you have done some fun videos. Like you cut one of your hostas before it unfurled and you're like, I'm going to saute this like maybe you would asparagus or something. I mean, just fun things that you're doing with your perennials. But what are some of the perennials that you find that do so well here in Atlanta?
Oh my gosh. It's so hard to choose a favorite. It's like choosing a favorite child, but I've had a lot of really great luck with, cone flowers. So those bloom later in the summer, but especially powwow white echinacea does super great in my garden and phloxes. I love trying to pretend that we have, you know, we can build our own cottage gardens and we live in the English countryside, so I love to incorporate any cottagey type plants, but those are the two that seem to give that cottage vibe and do really well. So my two favorites right now are opening act pinkadot phlox. That one opens in about late April, May, so it opens earlier than regular tall flowering phloxes, mm-hmm. and then magenta pearl phlox opens up in the summer, and they're both repeat bloomers, and we'll just keep going. They're amazing.
That is, and that's a great ground cover. Absolutely. And you've taken really good pictures of peonies and dahlias, which are a favorite of a lot of folks. And you've really made it seem like this isn't that intimidating. Peonies are easy to grow.
Yeah. Peonies are actually really hard to kill. And they look so complicated because, you know, I don't know, anything that has all those petals and just looks so delicate, mm-hmm. I feel like might be intimidating or hard to grow, but they're very long-lived perennials, and in fact, they're plants that people have passed down kind of between families because you can split them off and have, you know, grandma's peony that she's always growing in your garden type thing. So I think of them as legacy plants, and the whole point of me sharing on Instagram, and sometimes they're funny reels, but mostly I try to sprinkle in some educational something, but it's just to encourage anyone to get out there. I don't believe anyone has a brown thumb, but it's really, you know, as you grow and get your hands dirty, you learn, you know, what happened with that plant. And it's a lot of the times it's not really your fault, but it might not be the right plant for your soil and things like that. You just learn as you keep going.
Yeah, and you learn what you do well at. You know, if you just want to plant pansies and summer annuals and that makes you happy, do that. Yeah, if you want to do vegetable gardening, do it. Now, where do you find some good, you know, research? Like when you're looking for tips on peonies or you're looking up maybe a disease or leaf fungus that you have, like where do you go?
Yeah, so a lot of great information comes out of the UGA Garden Extension offices. Mm-hmm. So they're all over and do a lot of really great research. But then also just hopping on Google's YouTube if there's something that I'm trying to build. So when we built our chicken coop or any kind of trellis structures that we'll build in our garden, we kind of start at YouTube and keep going. But I guess that plant nerd side of me comes out, but I really love reading about things at night or just whenever you have a spare moment, researching.
And then it makes you excited. You know, you look these things up and then you're like, I can't wait to get out in the garden tomorrow and execute these things. Yeah. Well,
exactly.
I've got a couple more minutes with you, Michelle, and I want folks to really find you on Instagram. It's so much fun. At Gardens and Chickens is her Instagram account. You can look at some of the videos she does, things like that. But we have a couple of minutes. A word to the wise or a word of caution maybe for some moms and dads out there who may be buying baby chicks for the kids for Easter. Tell us what to expect.
Yeah, so I shared a little bit about earlier how baby chicks are very much babies and they need a lot of supervision. And from that stage, kind of moving into teenager chicks, as they start to get their real feathers, that's when you can kind of start to put them outside. But there's a very likely scenario that you might need to get a giant cardboard box, like think one that a refrigerator might come in, and then figure out a way to enclose that a bit so that they're not flying off before you're able to get them outside. The coop is something that you're going to want to really invest in. We ended up digging in netting underneath the ground because apparently voles and moles and things can dig under, and apparently raccoons can dig under. Apparently raccoons are really smart. I think, I don't know if it's their thumbs or what it is, but they're quite the predator and really like chickens. Everyone loves chickens and loves eggs. So lots of tasty treats that you need to protect with this coop. And then for us, they haven't become, you know, warm and cuddly, fuzzy pets like maybe a cat or a dog would. But they're really, for us, more in that egg production. But they're really fun to watch. But it is, you know, making sure they have food, making sure they have water. We let them out every once in a while if we're not seeing a lot of hawks in the air. But it is still work at the end of the day.
Yeah, so keep that in mind, folks. This is going to be cute, just like a baby. Cute for about 3-4 weeks or something, and then you get a teenager instantly. Well, listen, Michelle, I'm so glad we met at the Southern Living Plant Collection event here a few weeks back. And, I mean, keep in touch. You know, share with us some of the fun things you're seeing or things that seem to gain the most traction on your Instagram account. And let us know what all the folks on social media are into.
Sounds good. I will do. Thank you so much. I'm so glad I got to meet you, and thank you for having me on the show. This was so much fun.
A lot of fun. Well, enjoy your Easter weekend and your spring break and your travels there. Again, follow Michelle on Instagram. So much fun combining chickens and gardening and just a lot of do-it-yourself kind of know-how at Gardens and Chickens. Thanks, Michelle. We'll be right back. Hour number two starts soon on 95.5 WSB.